from the University of Nebraska at Lincoln and presenting on using canopy spectral reflectance to estimate nitrogen use traits in hard winter wheat. I just got the red in my head. You're set.
Thank you. So again, like Mary said, this is part of the same research. And so if you all want to recall Mary's presentation just a little bit ago, that's got a lot of the same information. And both Mary and Celeste really showed how important nitrogen use efficiency is to both grain quality and environmental protection and sustainability. And like Mary said, we did some really hard empirical nitrogen use efficiency phenotyping. And it's a process that goes on throughout the season, after the season ends, and it requires a lot of labor-intensive work. It's incredibly time-consuming, and it's destructive. And so it's expensive, which means it's not sustainable for the majority of wheat breeding programs. And so, like Mary said, we really need a better way to phenotype for nitrogen use efficiency. So we proposed that canopy spectral reflectance, or measuring the reflectance of the light off of the crop canopy, would be a good way to non-destructively collect nitrogen use efficiency phenotypes. And we thought that would work because it's been shown over and over again that CSR can be used to estimate canopy chlorophyll content. We know that chlorophyll contains the vast majority of nitrogen in the plant. So therefore, we should be able to estimate the nitrogen use efficiency traits by using CSR. And I do want to make a note that what we were doing here, and what you can see in the picture, is hyperspectral proximal sensing. So rather than just collecting NDVI, which is what the Green Seeker does and what you've seen earlier today, we collect data over the whole light spectrum, from blue light all the way up into the near-infrared range. And because we're collecting that huge spectrum, it's really difficult to analyze that spectrum. And so researchers have developed vegetation indices like NDVI to highlight specific phenotypes and reduce the effect of noise. But when we've got this huge spectrum, there's over 70 different vegetation indices that estimate canopy chlorophyll that we could use. But very few of them were developed for wheat. So we don't know which one we should choose from. And so the objective of my project was to evaluate vegetation index performance in the context of a hard winter wheat breeding program and choose the best vegetation indices to predict nitrogen use efficiency traits. Now, we did look at all of the traits that Mary talked about earlier, but for this presentation, I'm going to focus on three traits that really represented our results, and that's post-anthesis nitrogen uptake, nitrogen harvest index, and grain nitrogen yield. Now, we also need to determine the best time to collect the CSR data. So remember from Mary's presentation that we were working in the 299 genotype hard winter wheat association mapping panel, and this data was collected in 2012 and 2013, and like Mary said, we were really blessed with Shiba-E. We had two extreme years. We had that early, very warm season in 2012 where we never got canopy closure. We were at low biomass levels and low yield levels. And then contrast in 2013, we had a late, a cool, a very wet season where we got canopy closure very early in the growing season, high yield levels, and just leaps and bounds different from 2012. And so even though we had these two different years, we collected CSR data for about the 5 weeks of grain filling. And so it's roughly booting all the way through to maturity. You'll see in the table here that just because of the environment differences, we were measuring slightly different growth stages in the 2 years. But for each of these five measurement dates, we calculated 27 different vegetation indices. And so now that we have these 27 different vegetation indices, we've got to compare them somehow. So we looked at heritability. We also used a sensitivity ratio, which is really important because it's a scale-independent test. These vegetation indices, while many of them are like NDVI and range from 0 to 1, they're not all on the same scale. So if we use certain methods, such as root mean square error, we're going to have an effect of that scale, and that's something we want a pure comparison. So the sensitivity ratio compares two vegetation indices based on their relationship. On the top of the equation, we use the slope of the regression between the two indices, and the denominator is then the ratio of the error variances from the trial analysis. And it's a pairwise comparison. It's a ratio, so if our sensitivity ratio equals 1, those two vegetation indices are equally sensitive to changes in the canopy. We also looked at a Pearson correlation between those nitrogen use efficiency traits, and again, it's the 3 for this presentation. Finally, since we had those 5 weeks of data, we looked at multiple regression to determine if we can use those 5 weeks in a model to better predict these nitrogen use traits rather than using just a single measurement date. And those optimal models were selected based on the Akaike's information criteria as well as R-squared. And so let's start looking at the results. So this table is heritability values in the 2012 season. Each of the colored lines represents one of the 27 different vegetation indices. And on the x-axis, we've got the weeks of grain fill. So you're looking at heritability of vegetation indices as they change throughout the grain filling period. And there's a few things I want you to take away from this. And that's, one, vegetation indices are quite heritable. And that's great news as a plant breeder. It means if we make selections based on these indices, we are going to change the population and we're going to see improvements in the future generations. You'll also notice that heritability tends to increase as the season goes on, but it is, again, quite heritable from the get-go. Also, we have these two vegetation indices that are kind of all over the map, and that could be due to our equipment, and we just weren't able to calculate those very well. In 2013, we see some similar results. Again, there are vegetation indices that are really heritable. There are a few that are around 90% heritability. Again, we see that heritability kind of improves as we go through the growing season, and we've still got those two vegetation indices that are all over the map. Because it's likely due to equipment error, we just ended up dropping those two from any further analysis because we didn't trust the results. So for our sensitivity ratio, remember it's a pairwise comparison, and if it's equal to 1, those vegetation indices are equal in sensitivity. And what this figure is showing you is the percent of our pairwise comparisons that were equal to 1 in the 2 years. So in the lighter blue bars, that's 2012, and we say that almost all of our vegetation indices were equal in sensitivity to each other. And what this probably means is in that low biomass environment we had, they all work pretty well. You could pick any of those indices when you don't get canopy closure, and you're going to do a pretty good job. But in 2013, where we had that huge amount of biomass, we start to see differences in the sensitivity of these vegetation indices. And so this suggests that if you are in an environment that has high yield potential, lots of biomass, there are going to be vegetation indices that work a lot better, that don't saturate, and that will give you good information over those high biomass levels. And so we had, at this point, 25 different vegetation indices, and I definitely can't show you the pairwise comparisons for all of those vegetation indices. That would be a huge mess. So for the presentation, I just took 5 to kind of show you how we use kind of a least significant difference type analysis to compare the vegetation indices. And so you'll see that a lot of them do perform quite well. They are equal in sensitivity in 2012, and we do see more differences in 2013. And so when you go through those pairwise comparisons, we come up with some vegetation indices that seem to be more sensitive to changes in the canopy in those 2 years. And you'll notice that we do have some that perform well over the 2 years. And that's great news, especially since we did have such good G by E. So let's look at the correlation of those most sensitive vegetation indices. And so on the top three squares, that's going to be your 2012 traits, grain nitrogen yield, post-anthesis nitrogen uptake, and nitrogen harvest index. And on the bottom is our 2013 results. You'll notice that there are some differences in what traits we can predict in the 2 years. Grain nitrogen yield is really representative of a lot of the other nitrogen use traits that Mary talked about, the nitrogen uptake and utilization efficiencies. And we can predict those moderately well in both years, but definitely better in 2013. Post-anthesis nitrogen uptake, we could really only predict it in 2012. And nitrogen harvest index is the opposite. We could only predict that one in 2013. And so I'm going to put some stars up here to show you where the strongest correlations are. And we see that for grain nitrogen yield and post-anthesis nitrogen uptake, those are predicted by the same vegetation indices the best in the 2 years. But at least for grain nitrogen yield, also for utilization efficiency and uptake efficiency, our predictions were actually better earlier in the season, at an earlier growth stage in 2013. For nitrogen harvest index, this was one of the very few traits where we actually found that a different index predicted it best in the 2 years. But again, the best predictions are shifted a little earlier in 2013. Looking at the multiple regression, what you see here is on the right-hand side of your screen, you've got the multiple regression models, and we have the index that best predicted the trait, as well as the weeks that were retained in the model. And then if you compare that to the single-week regression, our best single-week regression, you're going to see that we don't get a huge amount of improvement with those multiple regression models. We're not predicting a whole lot more variation by going out there and collecting data multiple times. It is a little bit better in 2013, but still, as a plant breeder, I've got tons of things going on during the growing season. I've got disease ratings to take. I've got flowering notes or all sorts of notes that I need to go out there and take. And so I'm looking at this and I'm saying, well, unless I've got a lot of grad students to do this, it's probably not worth it to me to go out there and take multiple readings. And so I'd just like to wrap it up and say that our vegetation indices are highly heritable. It's good news. We're going to see more differences between those vegetation indices in a high yield potential environment. So we really, in those environments, we do want to predict or to select a better vegetation indices. The two vegetation indices that repeatedly popped up in our results were the Buxtu and Maccioni index. And that, unfortunately, the environment that you are in does affect the most predictive time for you to collect the data. So right now, our recommendation, at least for Nebraska, and it is going to be different for the different areas, is that you're probably going to want to use the Buxtu or Maccioni index to indirectly select for nitrogen use traits in hard winter wheat. And depending on your environment again, probably roughly 2 to 3 weeks after flowering is going to be the right time to collect that data. So again, this study was supported by the Tridisi CAP grant from USDA NIPA. And I also need to thank the Small Grains Research Team at Nebraska, as well as the Center for Advanced Land Management Information Technologies at Nebraska. They were really key to the collection of this high-throughput phenotyping data, as well as my husband helped me out with the programming and calculating all of these vegetation indices. He's a much better program than I am. So if you have any questions, I'll be around all week, or you can always email me. Thank you. Thank you. And I guess there is time for one question, so. Yes, in the back. So there were several, So the question was, why did we start collecting data at booting, and why didn't we go earlier in the season? And there were papers that showed that if you go earlier than that, your results are really conflicted, confounded by how fast the weed is growing. And so the nitrogen and the chlorophyll content kind of gets diluted by the expanding biomass. And so several papers showed that it's really, if you want to get good nitrogen type data from CSR, you should go after most of the vegetative growth has stopped.